Well, it's a privilege to be with you all this morning and to gather together to worship Jesus Christ. The Lord, in his kindness, brought us to Marcus and Tiffany today, too. So it's good to see you both. Make sure you stop and say hello to them. Let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Many of you will give gifts and receive gifts in the next few days. I was thinking, what if you gave a gift to someone, they opened it and looked at it, said thank you, but then put it back in the box and left it there? An unused gift. How sad that would be to have a gift given that's unused. I'm afraid God in his grace has given us so much in Jesus Christ that we are somewhat aware of in the sense of the gift analogy. We've opened it, we've acknowledged it, but it sits there unused. And God's desire for us is that all that he has given to us in Jesus Christ is to be used fully and wholly. To not use what Christ has given, what God has given in Christ, is to our own detriment and to the robbing of God of his glory. As we mentioned, sang about, as Bill prayed about, as Phil read about, that at this time of year, at Christmas, we celebrate the gift of Jesus Christ. And some of us celebrate that by giving gifts to one another. But I can assure you of this, Jesus Christ is the great and true gift that God has given to us. It's God's desire for us is to fully realize all that has been given in Jesus Christ. As I prayed and prepared and thought about preaching on the coming of Jesus Christ, as we normally do during this time of year, I went ahead and read the end of the Gospel of John chapter 14. And the verses that I read, I saw that they spoke of a gift within the gift of Christ. And so I thought this year, instead of just maybe preaching through Luke 2 or another text on the arrival of Christ, I thought it would be good if we just zeroed in on verse 27 of John 14. And that speaks about the gift of peace and the gift of Christ. So as we celebrate the coming of our Savior, I want us to look at, again, the gift of peace and the gift of Jesus Christ. If you follow along, I'm going to read verses 25 through 31, but we'll really just zero in on verse 27. So please follow along as we read God's holy word. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise. Let us go from here. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the gift of your own Son. For Christ coming to save us. Father, our desire is to understand what has been done more and more, that we may live in light of it, that we may praise you more, that you may get all the glory you are due. We know that when we see him face to face, that all the distractions will be removed and the glory due to your name will be given forever. But Father, between now and then, we want you to receive glory. We want to live to the fullness of all that you've given to us in Jesus Christ. And we need your help. We thank you for the Son. We thank you for the Word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Helper. And we pray that as we look to your Word now, that you would grant us the grace and help of the Holy Spirit, that we might see and understand, that it might become effectual to us today, that it wouldn't be mere information, but it would bring about transformation in our hearts, in our lives, for your glory and our good. So help us, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you remember in John 14, Jesus is comforting his disciples before he departs to the cross. And then on to the Father after his resurrection. He tells them that he's not leaving them alone, that the Father will send to them a helper, that helper being the Holy Spirit, and he refers to him as the Spirit of Truth. We've mentioned that the primary role of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer after regenerating them is that he becomes their indwelling teacher. He teaches us the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit is indwelling us, teaching us, giving us understanding, and he makes effectual the truths of Scripture in our lives as we read and meditate, as he magnifies Jesus and the promises fulfilled therein. In verse 26, we looked at it before, it says there that he will bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. Jesus said that to his disciples. In our lives, he does. The Spirit brings to remembrance the truth of Jesus' teaching. But pointedly here in the disciples' lives, if you think about this, they've learned so much from Jesus in these last 3.5 years. They hear he's going away, and they want to communicate all that they have learned to everybody else. But how are they going to remember specifically everything Jesus has said to them? Well, this is a promise for that. Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit will be in you and he will bring to remembrance everything that I have taught you. Because remember, these will be the writers of the New Testament. You think, how could they naturally recall with such detail all the things that Jesus taught them? Well, the inspiration of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit will bring it to their remembrance. What comfort this must have brought them, that we're going to be able to share that all that Christ has taught us in great detail as we write the Scriptures inspired by the Holy Spirit. Then here in verse 27, Jesus talks about the gift of peace, which will be our focus today. Beloved, Jesus is the gift, and he gives us the gift of peace. So the gift of peace and the gift of Christ. Let's look at verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Before I even define or try to define peace here that Jesus is talking about, I think if we took a survey even in this room, all of us would say, I want peace. I desire peace. It seems like all of humanity, individually and collectively, are always talking about peace. Personal peace, world peace. And all of humanity is always doing what they can, or at least talking about doing what they can, but they never seem to be able to achieve peace. Personally, I'm sure you maybe said these words, or at least thought them. All I want is a little peace and quiet. A little peace and quiet. Maybe if someone asked you, what do you want for Christmas this year? If you really thought about it, maybe you would ask for some peace and quiet. Sadly, though, saints, if I asked you to take out a piece of paper and write down the state of your soul, how many of us would really write down peace or peaceful to describe the state of your soul on a regular daily basis? Jesus says in verse 27 that he gives peace to us. What peace does Jesus give? I want us to think about it in really two different ways. The first way I want you to think about peace is I want you to think about harmony between individuals or parties. A cessation of war, which is one definition of peace that Jesus gives. And I want you to think of that as we work through that today a little bit. I want you to think of that as this: peace with God. Okay, that's one way I want us to think about it. And there's another definition you might be thinking of when you think of peace. You might think more of like a tranquil state of mind or soul, rest, well-being. And I want you to think of that as the peace of God. So peace with God, harmony between two parties, which are at odds, and the peace of God, the tranquil state of mind, of rest, of well-being. I think if we look at these two definitions, everyone in this room desires both. We want to have peace with God, and we want to have a tranquil state of mind, of well-being and rest within. And I've got good news for us today. Jesus Christ purchased both for you. He purchased both of these realities for you. And I want to show you how Jesus accomplishes and secures this first harmony, this peace with God. And then I want you to see, because of him securing that, he makes available to every believer the peace of God, the tranquil state of mind and rest that we all desire. So let's look first at this peace with God. Who are the two enemies that Jesus secures peace between? It is God and his elect of sinful humanity. Jesus secures peace with God between God himself and the elect of fallen humanity. That is what Jesus came to do, to secure peace between them. Because what happens, beloved, is sin has separated us from God. Sin has made us enemies of God, and sin justly condemns us before God. In Adam, we are enemies of God. We see that in the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, that's Adam, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. And what did that sin lead to in verse 18? The one trespass of Adam led to condemnation for all men. Everyone born after the seed of a man is guilty in Adam. Left alone, we are hopeless and helpless. And this is why the gospel is good news, because God's made a way for us to be saved and reconciled. And that's through Jesus, the Savior. This is why we celebrate his coming. This is why Pastor Phil read earlier that when he was born, that the angels praised God. And what did they say in Luke chapter 2? Glory to God in the highest and on earth. Here's our word, peace among those with whom he is pleased. This, this call of peace. The coming of Christ is the coming of the hope of peace with God. If you've read the book of Ephesians, you know that Paul calls our gospel a gospel of peace. This is a gospel of peace. Jesus said in verse 28 how he accomplished that. Look at verse 28 in your Bible there. You heard me say, I am going away and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. You see, Jesus is going to go to the Father, but the way he's going to get to the Father is he's going to go through the cross. He's hours away from standing and being nailed to a tree. So Jesus is going to accomplish peace with God by going to the Father. But he's got to go through the cross, through his shed blood on that cross, through suffering and dying in our guilt place. And through his shed blood, his suffering and dying, he will satisfy the wrath of God and be able to make peace between God and his elect and sinful humanity. And that's why Paul writes in Romans 5:10, for while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. One thing I want you to see here is that Jesus Christ secures peace. He secured peace with God. This is something that happens outside of you. This is something that Jesus did apart from you. While we were enemies, Jesus came as a Savior, born in the flesh, under the law, fulfilled the law, went to the cross in our guilt place, suffered our wrath and died, and satisfied God's wrath by the shedding of his own blood. That's something that is done apart from you. See, Jesus Christ secured peace apart from you. You're not really involved in that securing of peace. He secured peace. He established peace for you on the cross. How do we receive that peace? In Romans 5:1, it says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we now have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's important that we realize this. Peace is something that Jesus secured through his death, burial, and resurrection. It is completed. There's nothing you and I can do to improve upon the peace that Jesus Christ secured for us through his shed blood and righteousness. It is a gift. It is a gift. It is in the sense as we're thinking of gifts, it has been put together, wrapped with your name on it, and handed over to you and to be received through faith. It's accomplished. Peace with God has been accomplished forever for those whom Christ died. You can't add to that peace. It can't get any better in the harmony that we have because he has made us right with God through his shed blood and righteousness. Secured by Jesus, received by faith, accomplished outside of us. The gift of justification, the gift of righteousness, which is needed to have peace and harmony with a holy God. So it'd be wrong for me not to stop and ask everyone in this room, do you have peace with God? And I want you to realize the only way you can have peace with God is through faith in Jesus Christ. Trusting in God. Believing what Christ has accomplished. Coming unto Christ and receiving the free gift of eternal life, forgiveness of sin, and righteousness, reconciliation, and peace with God. Do you have that today? That's put forward to all of us, to all who would come and believe they will receive forgiveness of sins, and peace with God. In Jesus securing peace with God, I want you to know this, though. He's also provided all that is needed for the other aspect of peace we spoke about, which is tranquility of mind, well-being, and rest. We called it the peace of God. Until there's peace with God, there can no be the peace of God. You have to first have peace with God. That's what Jesus accomplished. But then that enables us to have the peace of God, this rest and tranquility of mind and soul. Let me ask you this. Is it possible for someone to have peace with God, but not have inward peace of God? Well, yeah. I think if we're honest, all of us who believe rejoice in the peace that we have with God through Jesus Christ. But when we look at our daily living, very often we don't have very much of the peace of God. Why is that? Why do we have peace with God accomplished outside of us, never to be diminished, improved on, perfected, secured for all eternity? Yet we, as those people who have now have peace with God, struggle every single day to have the peace of God, the inward tranquility that Jesus also secured for us. Let's talk about that. The peace of God. Why would we lack internal tranquility of soul? Well, we live in a world full of tribulation, of suffering, of difficulty, of distractions. And many, if not most of us, do not have daily peace in our soul. The peace of God. But beloved, I want us to know today that Jesus offers that and gives that to all of us. That is a gift of God. Remember the context of John 14. The disciples do not have tranquility of soul and mind right now. Their circumstances around them are collapsing. I mean, Judas has already left to betray Jesus. Peter's been told, you're going to deny me three times. He's one of their leaders. And Jesus, their teacher, their helper, is getting ready to leave. Through with dying, which they haven't even put together yet. It's going to get worse when they realize it's going to come through him being strung up on a cross. Their circumstances around them are very unpeaceful, and they have troubled hearts, and they're afraid. They don't have peace of soul. They don't have peace of mind. They don't have the peace of God. But Jesus says he's leaving them peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. So how can we who have peace with God actually begin to live in the peace of God? I think we first need to look at Jesus Christ. Let's look at him first. What circumstance is he in when he makes this statement? He is literally hours away from going to the cross. And so often when we think of the cross, we have in our minds the beatings, the whippings, and the horrendous torture, the most evil way that humanity can think of to torture and kill a man is in the cross. And that's horrible. But this isn't what has Jesus' mind consumed. What Jesus is thinking about is he standing in the place of guilty sinners and their sin being set up on him and his holy heavenly Father looking down upon him, and he's going to pour out the wrath they deserve upon him, and he's going to suffer and die in their place. That's the worst thing that's ever happened in all of humanity. You want to talk about circumstantial lack of peace? This is it. And very often we look at these situations and we say again, well, Jesus was God. But we've learned as we've studied through the Gospel of John, Jesus is fully God, no doubt, but he's fully man, and in his life on earth, he operated in the fullness of man, but he did it under the power and strength of the Holy Spirit, which now dwells in us. So how was Jesus the man dealing with the momentary thought, that cup of wrath, if this cup could pass from me, is getting ready to be poured out upon him? How does he have peace right now? You say, well, how do you know he has peace? Well, he just told his disciples, I'm going to give you my peace. And think of this as well. He's mindful of the disciples right now. You think when you and I are in stressful circumstances, nothing even remotely, eternally close to this, but when we're in stressful circumstances, aren't your thoughts self-consumed usually? You know why that is? You don't have any peace. You're trying to figure out how to fix the circumstances, how to get over the fear, how you're going to get through this, and you're just consumed because you have no peace. But Jesus is sitting here under such circumstances far beyond we could ever imagine. And he is thinking of his disciples and he's telling them this, I'm going to leave you with peace. I'm going to give you my peace. How does Jesus have peace? I'm going to give you two things as to why Jesus has peace, and they're needed for us to have tranquil state of mind, the peace of God. I'm going to give them to you, then I'm going to show them to you in Scripture. Jesus has two things that allow him to have peace that we need to have. He has full knowledge of who God is. He knows the Father perfectly. Okay? You need to know God to have peace. But the second thing he has, Jesus perfectly trusts the Father. He knows the Father perfectly, and he trusts him perfectly. And he's doing this by the power of the Holy Spirit. You'll see throughout his life, in the temptation of the wilderness, the Spirit is there strengthening him, encouraging him, reminding him of who the Father is. Jesus, when he's going to the cross, according to 1 Peter, he's entrusting himself to the Father. The circumstances don't look good. He's going to get beaten. He's going to die. He's going to endure his Father's wrath. But he just keeps entrusting himself to the Father. Jesus, the man, is trusting himself to the Father. Why? He knows him so well. He knows him to be trustworthy. And he just keeps entrusting himself to the Father. If we are going to have the peace of God, we need to know God and we need to trust God. Jesus, hours before the cross, knows the Father, and he's trusting the Father. Beloved, our lack of peace daily in our soul is a spiritual issue. It is not a circumstantial issue. It's spiritual. Let that sink in for a second. If you in your mind, if you tie peace to circumstances, you're thinking wrong. That's a worldly way to think. In fact, in a moment, Jesus is going to say this, I don't give you peace like the world does. That's not the right kind of peace. And I'm afraid many of us try to find peace the same way the world tries to give peace, which is always, always, always circumstantial attempt. Jesus is not in a good, peaceful circumstance right now. He's in the worst possible circumstantial peace ever. And yet he has perfect peace. He's offering peace. He's thinking of others. Why? He knows the Father and he's trusting the Father. Our issue and our daily lack of peace is not a circumstantial issue. It is a theological and spiritual issue that we have. It's our lack of understanding regarding God, and it's our lack of trust regarding God. Do you fear? Everyone in this room is tempted to fear, and we engage in it, and it's sinful and it's wrong. But look at the end of verse 27. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You don't have to have fear. And Jesus is not saying, pretend like the circumstances are really good and then you won't have fear. He's fully acknowledging the reality of the circumstance, but he's saying, I'm going to give you a peace that will alleviate fear, but it's not by changing the circumstance. Tell me that's true. So often when circumstances cause us to have lack of peace, we go into fear and we pray for God to do what? Change the circumstances. And there are times, I'm not saying it's wrong to ask for the change. I think Jesus in the garden, if there can be any other way, change it. But if not, thy will be done, not my will be done. I'm not saying it's wrong to ask for circumstantial change by God. But I think the primary way we see through Scripture and probably experienced in your life is that Jesus is going to give you peace, not by changing your circumstances. In fact, he promises this world will be full of tribulation. This world will be full of suffering. This time, from when you're alive to when he returns, will be hard. But he says, but I offer you peace, and it won't necessarily come through circumstance. It'll come despite the circumstance. And you don't have to fear anymore. Isn't that a good gift? I mean, what if I wrapped up a box right now and I gave it to you and I said, Don, here's a gift, and you opened it up and it said, I give you peace. You'd be like, that's great, but what do you mean by that? This is really what Jesus done. He has given us the gift of peace. Peace with God and the peace of God. Beloved, this is available to you today, to me today. You want to talk about good gifts? Nothing under a tree anywhere in the universe right now can compare to this. Peace with God and the peace of God forever. That's available to you and I right now. He says he's going to go away to the Father through the cross, and secure peace with God. And it's in the securing of the peace with God that he can offer you daily soul-satisfying, soul-resting peace of God. If you want peace, you must know God, you must understand God, and you must believe God. Know God, understand God, and believe God. So I thought about this. And I thought, is there a circumstance in the Bible where Jesus demonstrated this maybe in a way that we could capture it a little bit clearer? And it's, I found this so interesting. In Mark chapter 4, you can just look at it on the overhead. This is when he's out. Well, let me just read it to you. On that day when the evening had come, he said, Jesus, to them, let's go across to the other side. He's with his disciples. And leaving the crowd, they took with them in the boat, and just as he was, and another boats were with him, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was filling. Let me ask you this. Is that a circumstance of peace? No. Not a circumstance of peace. Nothing peaceful in this circumstance, actually. Verse 38, but he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. How? Why is Jesus able to, I don't think it was because he wasn't aware of the storm. You ever been in a boat in like little waves? I think he's aware of it. I just think he went back to sleep. Like, all right. He's asleep in the stern. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? And he awoke and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And when the wind ceased and there was great calm, now listen to what he said to him. He said to them, why are you so afraid? Fear is the opposite of peace. Do you see that? Fear is the opposite of peace. Well, he said, why are you so afraid? And then he gives the answer. Have you no faith? They failed to realize who Jesus was, that he's God, sovereign and control, and can calm the sea, and they failed to trust him. Those are the two issues they had. So because they didn't realize who Jesus was, and because they didn't realize they should trust him, they turned instead to fear. Do you see that? It's important you see how this works in us. So when Jesus tells us, hey, he's going to give us peace, you needed to realize, okay, I want that peace. How do I get it? So this is how it works. We're in a circumstance that's coming. Often, we're going to get to chapter 15 in John, God's bringing that to you. He brings the storms of your life. And they're going to tempt you to worry and to fear and to lose peace. But if we realize who God is and we trust in God, we can have peace despite the circumstances. Jesus secured peace with God, and he says you can have the peace of God. Now let me, what's the main purpose of that other helper, the Holy Spirit? He is going to be an indwelling teacher who's going to teach them the scriptures about who God is, which will build up their faith. He's going to magnify Jesus Christ so they'll trust him more. Do you see why this I'll give you peace is put in the context when Jesus says, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit? Because if you need to know who God is and you need to be able to trust God, you need someone to teach you this book. So that's why Jesus is here saying, I'm giving you another helper and I'm going to give you peace. It's the Holy Spirit teaching us about who God is, who Jesus is, what Jesus accomplished, who you are in him, magnifying Jesus. And as we lay hold of that in faith, we have peace. That's why it's in that context. He doesn't, Jesus says, I don't give you peace like the world does. You see that? I don't give you peace like the world is going to give you peace. Let me ask you this. How does the world give peace? It's always circumstantial options, okay? But you need to recognize this. There really is never any true peace until that first peace we talked about is settled. Until there's peace with God, you can never, ever have the peace of God. So the world has to manufacture false peace. They call it peace, and they try to sell it and give it out. But it never deals with peace with God because the world can't deal with that. That's only through Jesus Christ. And so all of humanity has a knowledge of God. They have a conscience that there is a God of right and wrong. They know that they have sinned, but they buy peace from the world to suppress that, to try to get away from it, to have daily peace. Like, hey, you can drink your and get peace. Just take this bottle and drink enough of it, it'll give you peace. Is that really peace? It's a numbing of all that's not peace in their life. Just numb yourself to it. Or take drugs and escape the reality. So the world says, I'll offer you peace, but it's really an escape from where they're at. The peace Jesus offers us is not an escape from where we're at. It's deliverance in the middle of it. See, the world can't offer you that. The world offers you momentary, false peace. Maybe through entertainment. Don't worry about all that death and heaven, eternity stuff. Look what you could have. And we turn away from that to this, and it numbs you to that. And then you got to keep it going, though. Then a little bit's not enough. I got to have more and more and more. And so you just got to keep getting more and more and more of this. And you think you have peace, but it's just distracting you from the eternal reality that you are marching to the precipice of eternal death. Well, don't look at it. That's what the world says. That's not peace. That's not peace. Quieting the conscience through drinking, drugs, immorality is not peace. denying God's existence and suppressing the truth and unrighteousness may give you a momentary numbing or callousing of your conscience. It is not peace. They will wake up one day and realize that was not peace at all. And I'm in trouble. But Jesus gives you peace with God forever through his shed blood. And because of that, he can now give you the peace of God in your daily life. I'm going to try to help you see that a little bit more so you can live in that. Because I want you to live in that. Because when you live in that, you make God look good and you glorify God. So let me give you this. Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 7. This is the peace of God that we're speaking about, okay? Do not be anxious about anything. Don't worry, don't fear. But in everything, by prayer. Prayer is acknowledging God, your need for God, turning to God, okay? But in everything, by prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And here it is. And the peace of God. That's that daily, momentary, indwelling tranquility of mind. The peace of God. Now look at this. It surpasses all understanding. It just doesn't make sense sometimes. How about this? I like to think of it this way. It's non-circumstantial peace. It's like Paul and Silas in the prison type peace. Hey, I'll beat you with rods till you bleed, imprison you and chain you till we get to the morning so I can kill you. And these people start singing. That surpasses understanding. You shouldn't have that kind of peace in your soul right now. What is that? It's the peace of God, which surpasses understanding. Look what it guards. It guards your heart and your mind in what? In Christ Jesus. Now think with me again how this works. Because here's what I don't want you to think about the peace of God. I don't want you to think about the peace of God as a fog in the room. And if you're in the troubling circumstances of everyday life, you're just hoping, God, please send the fog. And you hope the fog just kind of blows over you and it settles on you and you go, oh, peace, peace. That's not how this works. It is supernatural, but it's not. I don't want you to think it's something that you just grasp at the wind. Like, God, give me peace. There's means of it. In other words, it's not just something ethereal out there that you hope comes your way at some point, and then it blows away and you missed it and you lost it. I want you to know this. You can live in this every moment of your life. Do you believe that? I mean, that almost sounds impossible, doesn't it? Well, Jesus Christ reconciled you to a holy God. That was impossible. He gave you peace with God, but he offers you daily, moment by moment, peace that you can actually live in. And it deals with the guarding of your heart and your mind, and it deals with your thoughts being centered on Jesus Christ. How does this work? Let the peace of Christ rule your heart. That really sounds like Philippians 4:7 to me. But there he says, the peace of God which surpasses all knowledge will guard your heart. So what is it? Is it the peace of God? Is it the peace of Christ? Yes. It's the peace of God in Christ Jesus. Enabled by the Spirit. Through the Word. We're right back here again. Did you see how that worked? We just keep getting back here all of our lives. Saints, listen, there is mystery in some aspects of the Christian life, but I think we try to make mystery where there isn't mystery. The peace of God is not mysterious. There's an objective reality to it. It is God who gave through Christ. It's available to every genuine believer if they have peace with God. It comes through the Holy Spirit, revealing Jesus Christ and all the promises therein through the Word. So you hear that and you say, I want peace with God. It's available to you. But it's going to be found right here and nowhere else. You see, you can't get away from that book. This is how God works. It's not real mystical in that sense. Supernatural, surpasses understanding, but doesn't ever bypass understanding. It works in the mind. It works through the mind, guards the heart, focused on Christ, and it's settling internally despite circumstances, and it is available to every single Christian right now, purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, you should look at verse 15, Colossians 3. Let the peace of Christ rule your hearts. And you go, I want that. How? Verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You want me to make the connection for the Holy Spirit in that? There's a parallel verse, almost an identical verse in Ephesians chapter 5. You know what that one says? And be being filled with the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. Be being filled with Him, being led, be led by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit, let the Word of Christ richly dwell in you. Those things guard your heart and your mind, and they lead to tranquility and peace as you center your eyes on Jesus Christ despite the circumstances. That's really good news. We can have peace in the midst of war. Because we're in a war, but there's peace available. I'll say this, the peace of God in our daily lives, listen to this, is proportionate to our knowledge of God and trust in God. Did you hear that? The peace of God in your daily life is in proportion to your knowledge, your understanding of God, and your laying hold of God. Where do you get understanding of God? Word. And now we're back to John chapter 14. What did He give you to help you with that? An indwelling helper called the Holy Spirit who teaches you the Word. You want peace? He did it all. He's really done it all, and He said, and this is how you can have it. You want peace with God? Come in faith and believe, and you'll have peace with God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You want the peace of God? You open up that word, and you let the words of Christ richly dwell in you, and I'll help you with that. I'll give you a Holy Spirit. Is it possible that the reason most of us lacking in peace today is because we've made something a greater priority in our lives than the revealed word of God? How about this? You won't have peace without it. You just won't. He may sustain you and persevere you to the end, but you're going to be a very unpeaceful, pretty much miserable person. And I think it's because we've bought into the lie of the world's peace. And we might pray, but it might be this: God, make me healthier. God, make me richer. God, make me stronger. And maybe He's got you unhealthy, poor, and weak. So you'll turn to Him in prayer and the Word and find the peace of God despite your circumstances. In fact, chapter 15 of John is going to say that's exactly what He's doing in all of our lives. Exactly. Chapter 15 is going to be summarized in this: God showing you the delusion of your strength. Showing you how weak you are. And you go, isn't that kind of mean? It's the most loving thing He can do. Because when you find yourself weak, you lift up and raise your hands up and turn to God. And you'll find peace and joy. You know, peace and joy are always linked. In fact, they're fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. And you get one, you get them all. You get one, you get them all. It's not like parchment. So I'm going to give you a little peace, you a little joy. If you have peace, you'll be flooded with joy. You'll be a much more patient person. Well, Let me close with this, and maybe this will help put it all together for us. Isaiah spoke about this stuff. Listen how Isaiah said it. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. I hope that just brought it all up to one verse. Perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. And I gave you a helper for that. It's available to you. This isn't mysterious. J.C. Ryle said it this way. Inward peace of conscience arising from a sense of pardoned sin and reconciliation with God is far greater blessing. This peace is the inheritance of all believers, whether high, low, rich, or poor. A mind that recognizes I deserved hell and I've gotten glory. I've been adopted into the family of God, and he runs the universe, and he causes all things to work together for good for those who love him, for those who are called according to his purpose. How can I not have peace if I'm looking and believing that? You can't. You will have peace if you're looking and believing and laying hold of that. The way you don't have peace is you take your eyes off of that. But he keeps him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. And then he trusts him. What's your and I's problem? We're so easily distracted with this. And if we would keep our minds stayed on him, if you would renew your mind daily, you would have perfect peace through the Holy Spirit magnifying Jesus Christ. Peace with God and the moment-by-moment peace of God is found in one place. It's found in Jesus. So I'm going to end with this question, and I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing Joy to the World. Okay? But here's what I want to end with. Should you seek for peace? Kind of a trick question. I would say no. You should seek for Jesus. And in Jesus, you'll find perfect peace. You'll find a lot of other stuff in there too. But don't just say, I want peace. I want Jesus, and in Jesus is peace. The peace of the gift of peace in the gift of Christ. We seek the gift of Christ. We come to Christ to be reconciled with God, and in him we have perfect peace. Beloved, this is the greatest gift in the universe. It's eternal. It never goes away. It's there for the taking. And I want us to lay hold of it. So I'm going to pray to that end. The team's going to come up, and we're going to sing about the peace of God, which then brings us joy to the world. So bow your heads and pray, then we'll sing praise. Father, I'm speechless. God, we confess fear, worry, and looking for peace in the world's means. I confess that in my own soul, God. And what a ruin it has brought me. What detriment to my soul and your glory in my life. God, thank you for Jesus Christ, who has made peace with you for us. And God, I thank you that he gives us your peace, the peace of God in everyday living, that tranquility of soul, knowing we're right with you if we keep our eyes upon you. We thank you for the help of the Holy Spirit. God, I think our greatest need is to prioritize the Word of God. And I pray for my life and every person in this place that you would do whatever is necessary in our lives today to bring us to that place. Lord, that we would live in perfect peace as our minds are stayed on you and we trust you. help us. Help us to change things, God, to really look and begin to change, that this wouldn't be information, but you'd bring about transformation, that we wouldn't go back tonight or tomorrow and just keep doing what we've been doing, but we would actually see how you work, and then we would make changes to keep in step with the Spirit. I think I'm grasping more what that means, Father. To understand how you work so we can walk in that same way and experience more of you and know you more. So help us. Thank you for the gift of Jesus. I pray as we sit around our homes and open up our homes and share these things that Jesus Christ shines as the greatest gift in the universe. I pray we're compelled to share him more and proclaim him more and live him more for your glory and our good. So now, with hearts of thanksgiving and joy, let us stand and sing to you, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.